Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, we'll get shot by Cupid's arrow on an episode about love. Comedian John Pate returns, and singer Josh Quadra performs.
Julie, how do you spell love?
L-O-V-E.
No, that's not it.
Well, L-U-V is acceptable, maybe.
Not that one either, no.
Heart emoji?
That's the one, perfect.
What's it for?
Well, I'm composing you a romantic letter and sent.
This is just random nonsense.
It's contemporary poetry.
Okay, it's an eyeball emoji, then a car, and then an alphabet block, and then it's the number 4, then it's a JPEG from the poster from You're the Hunter from the Future.
And finally, the coup de grace?
Heart emoji. I don't get it.
You have to read it aloud.
I, car, alphabet block.
Well, it's A to Z.
I, car, A to Z for your heart?
No, love.
Oh, that's sweet. I, car, alphabet hunter from the future, you too.
From the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Yeah, thank you, folks. And as always, on the other microphone, my bitter half, Julie Van Dusen. Love, amour, or less, expressed from the heart of darkness. No, I kid. It's a beautiful thing. I don't mean to be a cynic. You know what they say, though, if you scratch a cynic, you'll find a romantic. Which sounds about right, because, well, I've actually been scratched a few times. Usually right before the suitcase goes out the window. That's how it works. It comes on strong and magical, but if you don't manage it just right, it all goes to hell. You have to nurture it like a delicate thing. You know, keep it safe until it plants its roots, right? Well, when you're young, if you take enough kicks at the can, after a while, you might figure it out. A few tries, maybe. You know, they say you can't make a Valentine without breaking a few hearts.
Loves me now. Même on peut beaucoup passionnement. À la fois, les pas de tout. Lie to me true in any tongue that you choose. I can take the abuse.
Love has been around forever, at least since man, when we lived in caves and women were unimpressed. Maybe even before. A monkey may just love another monkey. An elephant probably loves its mate. A cat, don't be ridiculous, cats don't have feelings. But human love is a whole other animal. We've got words and songs and with enough booze, dancing. It can transcend space and time. It can build castles and climb mountains and cause heartburn. Love is big. Eh? When it gets tangled up in consciousness, it gets utterly huge. Like Godzilla, emphasis on the God, stomping through your mind like it's Tokyo, your ego screaming and diving out the little windows, taking over passion, love, obsession, restraining orders.
Loves me now. Même on peut beaucoup passionnement. À la fois, les pas de tout. Lie to me true in any tongue that you choose. I can take the abuse.
When you meet, it's electric. That moment when your hands get closer, nervously closer, pinkies almost touch. You make your move, clasp hands, and sparks fly. You can't spend a minute apart. They stay over, go home 4 days later for appearances and socks. Meet the parents, move in, dog, marriage, babies, mortgage, snoring, divorce. Hit the brakes, rewind the movie. Play it through slowly, carefully. Look for those frames, the ones you forgot. With any luck, you can bring them back.
Baby, maybe if we get it right. In measurements of stardust and moonlight, mind, soul, and heart, until death do us part.
It'll work out in the end. It does for most of us. So we're going to see if we can't find it this week. Try and jump in front of Cupid's bow and take one to the chest. Some stories, sketches, a few songs. Stick around. It beats being alone.
Loves me now. Même on peut beaucoup passionnement à la fois les pas de tout. Honestly do you love me the same way I do you?
Now, as always, we are bound to offend someone out there listening this week. If you do take issue with something you hear on the program, or maybe you're just lonely, you can tweet me directly at @TheJPHouston. You never know, you just might get a response on the air. Sometimes I find it hard to express myself too, even when I'm reading every word I'm saying off these cue cards here, and insincerely at that. But I did write this next song about trying to find just the right words. Now, our musical guest this week is an old friend. We're happy to have him back on the program. Singer-songwriter from Riverside, California, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Quadra.
It was all an illusion, all the plans that I had for the year never happened. Then I saw my reflection. I was new and I was old and I was here. And beside you, it was dark, you walked up and I knew I can love you. Practicing everything I do, every time I talk to you, I think I found a better way to handle pressure through the day. And I'm quitting my show next month. I'm gonna share everything I know so I can grow some more. Failure or regret, not what I suspect. Failure or regret, not the feeling I should get. I was nervous too, not as much as you. I was nervous too, bother you.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
I'm Sasha Veneers, and you are Up Close. Short, chubby, annoying. All words used to describe mythological cherub and all-around nuisance, Cupid. Since drawing his bow at the dawn of man, this curly-headed twit has caused a non-stop torrent of office Christmas party makeouts, trysts, affairs, love children, romances, happily ever afters, and yet somehow I'm still married to my cat. I sat down with the little stinker to follow the trail of crumbs to the cookie at the center of the heart of the meaning of love. Cupid. Cupie. Cupe. Cupe. Why am I so alone?
Even my stealthy error is no match for a closed heart.
So you're saying it's his fault?
It takes two to tango.
So more Latin dance lessons.
The light of love comes from within.
Show me on this doll.
Metaphorically.
Is it the pants? It's the pants, isn't it? With his pungent essence, whiffing up everything from swoony radio ballads to the rhyming nonsense of William Shakespeare, this ever-present reminder of what I'm missing has got me all like, can't a sister get a little too... The nation's scientists have been left in the dark, analyzing the chemical remnants, begging Mr. Love himself for a sample of what he keeps in that satchel of his. Is it fairy dust? Pheromones? Pure oxytocin? I ate a whole bottle of those once and I didn't feel anything. I decided to stop beating around the bush and find out just how many emojis equals true love. Cupid. Can a 10,000-year-old flying baby even experience love?
I experience love peripherally.
So you're a peeping Tom.
Oh, I share in the warmth of every expression of affection the world over.
A prolific peeping Tom.
Ethereally.
Yeah, I've heard that line before.
You only need to open your heart for it to find you.
Or you could get a quick shot of the good stuff you're hoarding over there.
Careful, it's a very powerful elixir.
Just give it here.
Don't touch.
Cupid,
no,
give it to me.
Don't touch. It's
give it,
very
okay, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to tickle it out of you.
Dangerous.
Give it to me. Give it
don't
to me. I'm Sasha Veneers, and I'm suddenly in an unrequited love triangle with a boom microphone and a fat winged baby. We'll be right back with Mike Pence.
I think it's about time we had another song from Josh Quadra. Josh is here performing songs from his new collection of material available online at Josh's Bandcamp page, Josh Quadra, C-U-A-D-R-A. Or you can find Josh on Twitter at Josh Quadra. Let's have another one. Josh Quadra, everybody.
Way I believed in.
just the way I imagined.
Coal and fire, unfiltered waterfront smokestacks, hooting sooty rings over mountains of CFC landfill cartons, yacht-long station wagons burping loud muffler gas, stinking through the neighborhood. The 1980s ex-hippie cum-yuppie traded his free love for guilt and then invented a day to clean it all up. You know, I did look like the sort of jerk who might be into that kind of thing. Shaggy dog hair, bloodshot eyes, messy t-shirt, spaced-out stare. I wasn't an 11-year-old stoner. I just stayed up too late, and, well, my mom was too busy to cut my hair. From first through fifth, it didn't play very well, but, well, by the sixth grade, with goofy preteenhood just around the corner, you could play it off as edgy. The folky middle-aged teachers had entered in the 70s with a tie-dyed bang, and they were planning to wind down the 1980s in a Cosby sweater whimper. I suppose if your revolution fails, torturing us children with assignments about acid rain was a pretty good guilt pacifier. Carefully invest in your stock market retirement plan during the week and then save the whales on the weekend. Then try and bring it all together in April on Earth Day. And the earth rolled its eyes. The harsh Canadian cold didn't let up easy. Well, they called it spring, but well, that's just what you did from the car to the house. Now, on a bad year, you'd be waddling well into April in your snow pants. My old man wasn't an environmentalist, but he was stingy, always in a never-ending battle to keep that thermostat as close to freezing as possible. Soon as the coast was clear, I'd snake my hand back behind that brown pressboard bookshelf and slide the needle all the way up. Come on, a few lousy degrees isn't going to hurt the whales, right? Besides, there's a fresh and clean nuclear power plant just down the coast a few miles. It's perfectly safe, Chernobyl. Nuclear, it's even got the word clear right in the word there, so. The last bearded savior, keeping the dream alive, crashing against the waves, dealing damaging blows to those big whaling ships. A medium save the whale sign hung on the side of the ship there. And then back on land, battling the conservatives on the TV crossfire. One side with their head in the clouds and the other with its head in the sand. There were cracks starting to show in the square era. There was an environment now. Those bearded champions were going to save the whole damn thing. And then there she was. Little Karina Kay, walking into the class. Oh, I'd think to myself, look at those curves she might have in a few years. My voice might be broken by then, and well, if I play my cards right, well, we're practically together already. You know, might as well slide in early with a pre-hormonal friendship, right? You know, lay the groundwork a bit. So I asked her, would you like to get McDonald's with me at lunch? Her eyes turned cold. She squinched up her already turned up nose a few extra notches and said, you shouldn't go there. I said, because, of course, because they, what do they do now? CFC cartons are destroying the world. Oh, yeah. CBCs. I know that. I was just, I was testing you. You know, CBCs, NHL, CFCs. All those letters are all bad. So, well, why don't you join me at the Environmental Justice League, she perked up. Well, no, it's definitely not a club I just invented to impress you. It's a real thing that I've been planning for weeks. And it just so happens that our very first meeting of the EJL is this lunchtime in the hallway in the basement. The music was all brightly colored, neon pink and spiky hair. Dancing looked like jogging on the spot, and well, it wasn't very subversive. Maybe just enough to upset the parents a little, but, you know, not enough to cause all-out marches in the streets. And you looked at it. You didn't listen to it. There was a 10-minute movie for each one, and they played them over and over and over again all day and all night. An easy, tranquil dream. Sleepwalking us into the closet where we'd stumble onto our uncle's old records. Buried secrets of long hair with leftover crumbs in the gatefold. We'd put them on the turntable and, well, we'd start to figure things out. I waited anxiously by the downstairs fountains after lunch, the cooped-up kids barreling past, making a break for the light outside, and Me stuck in anticipation. Oh, come on, Karina, come on, where are you? And then a big metal bar press clunk at the big heavy blue door, and then a gust of wind. And is it? Oh, yes, it is. And there she is, sweet, sweet Karina, with a notebook and a dream. Where's everyone else? Well, I guess we're just the only two kids in the school with any integrity at all. We'll just have to spend twice as much time together. The first meeting of the environmental, whatever I said it was called earlier, league, is called to order. She planned. She talked. I watched. I swooned. I just nodded my head and said yes. What to? I have no idea. She could have been saying nuke the whales, for all I knew. She opened up her big scratch-and-sniff sticker-covered notebook and slid out a single piece of paper. This is it, she says. Our manifesto. A list of actions that every conscious-minded citizen must take every day to improve our environment. The EJL Manifesto. I kept nodding. We are going to hand-deliver these all around the neighborhood and do our part to save the world. Oh, don't you worry, Karina. I will personally make sure that every last house in this whole city gets this unsolicited junk mail. We hit the office copier, the repressed secretary there with the framed Michael Douglas picture on her desk. She looked at us with, oh, isn't that cute eyes, and she let us at the paper machine. We whizzed out a bunch of copies. You better give me a whole stack, Karina. I'm truly committed to this cause. I skipped all the way home that day. Love. Love, it must be love. Me. She trusted me with the most important thing to her. And you know what? I'll show her that it's true. I'll race back into school every day with a big smile and an empty bag. Now, I'm going to need another stack, Karina. And another stack. And then another stack. I was a Greenpeace hero on my way to the Nobel Prize. And the award for handsome dedication goes to love. Sweet love. I had it in the bag, too. By Earth Day next week, she'll be head over heels for me. I mean that dedication, it's undeniable, right? And when that second-rate folk cover band plays Where Have All the Flowers Gone, she'll melt like globally warmed butter. And I'll make my move. The next day, I get another stack. And another. Reams and reams of paper. Another. Even Karina had only done a few blocks. But me, no, not me. I had gone through hundreds and hundreds, ramping up to it like a carefully orchestrated campaign. A big push right at the finish line with a giant 2-foot stack. I woke up early that morning. Chose my army greenest shirt for a revolutionary look. Carefully messed up my hair just so, and then I strolled down the street to the concert in the Saturday park. Walking on hummingbird feet past the information booths and the granola samples, up to the tree where we'd planned to meet. And then Karina arrived just in time, right when the band started to play. I handed her a dandelion I'd picked. Our eyes met, and nervously away, and then back again, and our fingers slowly, cautiously towards the harmonies drifting from the stage, my feet lifting off the ground. And there, just as fate decided, we held young hands. It just goes to show, love will find you. It's natural. All you need is an open heart, a dedication to the cause, and a good spot behind the dumpster to hide 2,000 copies of the manifesto.
Young in love with the world on a string, hold my hand as the folk singers sing. In the park, playing catch with the sun, shooting jacks with the stars, when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook, and you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air.
Welcome back to American Parlor Songbook here at the Tudor House Theater in Lake Arrowhead, California. Now, our next guest is a good friend. We're happy to have him back on the program. Ladies and gentlemen, comedian John Pate.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Last Saturday, I did some quick cleaning, and it's always amazing how much clutter one can accumulate over the years. Eliminating that special collection of treasures for the yard sale is not as easy as one might imagine, especially when it has great memories attached. From our early years, we love to fill desk drawers with our valuables. These initially consist of baseball cards, marbles, cassette tapes, and such, and then gradually work their way up to larger, more important items such as boomerangs, comic books, sneakers, and perhaps even a Grand Ole Opry fan that's autographed by Marty Robbins. When the selected desk drawer is full to overflowing, the contents are then dumped into a box and into the closet, and the whole process begins again. As we graduate and move away from home, these boxes are simply taped shut and the contents stored as time capsules until such a moment as this, only to reappear as a pressured memory, as they did for me at 10:30 a.m. one Saturday morning. While searching for a stapler refill clip, I tore through about four boxes of mementos, and the last one dated back to my senior year of high school. Suddenly, I had to stop. When my eye caught it, mingled among all of the assorted seashells and paper clips in the plastic box, I was instantaneously fired like a rifle shot back to the second week of January, 1975. Now, at this point, I must admit that while my dating history was not excessively grand in high school, I did post a major victory on occasion. But this particular night, this glorious, memorable, perfect evening set into motion a one-month mental romantic ride that culminated into the date. While enjoying a half a meatball sandwich at Pasquale's Pizza Parlor, I asked Jackie Knox to be my date for our church's Valentine banquet, and she said yes, as she took the pickle from the top of my sandwich. I know it was a full month in advance, but I had it on good authority that if I waited, she would most certainly be asked by at least six other pimply-faced geeks, kind of like myself, and I would be left all alone. And I was correct. Over the course of the next week, Jackie informed me of three other invitations. And as she shared this information, she looked me in the eye and smiled, reassuring me that I was her choice. This was my first ever home run feeling. Now, you may be asking, what's the big deal? Well, you have to understand the legend of Jackie Knox. Jackie was 2 years younger than myself, a sophomore, just hitting her stride in all fields of perfection. She was the most beautiful, popular, intelligent female in her class. She was literally the Anne Margaret of the 10th grade. And she had several other suitors. They were two regular callers and myself. And sometimes we joked that it was a coin flip as to whom she would pick to go out with for that week's date. Heads, it would be Steve. Tails, it would be Dennis. But if it landed on the edge, balanced next to the wall, she would go out with me. And on that rare occasion, which I learned to appreciate quickly, Jackie made me feel like I was the center of her universe. And the 1975 Valentine's banquet would be the grandest evening of them all. After one full month of expectation, anticipation, and imagination of what might be, it almost amounted to more of an emotional roller coaster ride than I could handle, but it was well worth the effort. Finally, the big night rolled around, and I was ready. I washed the car, took two baths that day, and even said a prayer requesting that God not allow me to do anything stupid, say anything stupid, or hyperventilate and pass out at the banquet. I was dressed and ready by 4 p.m. The banquet started at 7. So I sat perfectly still in the living room for approximately 2.5 hours. Filling the room with the aroma of Brut and Banaca until the cat passed out. And then I knew it was time to leave. Jackie's mom met me at their front door and invited me in to be stared at by Jackie's father for about 10 minutes before she came down. But oh, that was worth every single price that anyone could pay for the vision of Jackie as she sat at the bottom of those stairs. Stunning would not describe her beauty, and whimpering puppy would not describe my mental state at the time. Her mother snapped a few pictures, and we were on our way. Every moment of that evening would be embedded in my memory forever. Every feature of her face, every sentence, every one of Jackie's laughs were so perfectly timed, even down to the crowning of the Valentine Queen at the end of the banquet. Now, although Jackie was not self-centered, on this particular evening, she wore her hair down just in case the crown needed to fit easily. And of course, she was not disappointed. She would be crowned the queen. Take my word for it, there was only one choice that night. As we drove back to her place that evening, Jackie thanked me again for asking her first. I walked her to the door, all the while shaking increasingly with each step. Mind you, we had gone out before, but this was different, and I didn't know why. I reached out my hand to hold hers in the doorway, shaking and trembling, and she grabbed it and squeezed it so hard, I stood up on my tiptoes, probably 2 inches taller, and bam, she kissed me. I'll say that again. She kissed me. I really don't remember the ride home from Jackie's that night, but somehow I made it without wrecking the car, and everything was good. Years passed, and I moved away, and Jackie got married. I got married, but I still see her occasionally when I travel home for the holidays, and we chat casually, recalling some of the good old days, but every now and then as we speak, I catch a tiny glint in Jackie's eye, and I wonder if she remembers that evening the way I do, that perfect night. Yes, I do remember that night, sitting here over a box of thyme, holding in my hand a little tan plastic sword that held a pickle on the top of a meatball sandwich. Why did I keep it? For every reason I just spoke of, a vision of perfection on the bottom stairs. Good evening.
John Page. Let's have another song from Josh Quadra.
Duplicate my life, what I thought it was. I won't be doing that again. I couldn't understand, so I just let it go. I won't be doing that again. It didn't feel right at the start, but then I reassured myself that I'm the one to carry on. The second part was just the avoid, if you know how. I tried to recognize myself, I tried to act accordingly. Every time I did, I felt so forced, and now I think about times I wasted when I was away at school and in my room. Now I can't start over, but as easy as that sounds, I'll never change. Yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will. But now I'm changing my role, 'cause I wanted it to show that I'm not scared of you anymore. I think I can see how crucial it can be that I'm not scared you anymore, 'cause I'm not scared of you anymore, 'cause I'm not scared of you anymore.
How about that? Another great one. Now we've got time for one more from Josh Quadra.
Comfortable with all the thoughts that are replies to all the emotions that I've waited for. Tangible, physically removed from all the actions that I did before. Oh. And it was reversible, all the things that we have thrown and all the things that we have planned to do. Oh. Piecing together all the things that we were saying before. And all of a sudden, all the things that we were saying before. Relinquishing my past, following all the dreams I thought would last. Think I'm being too tough on myself. Telescopic mind, being agreeable till I'm blind. I think I'm being too tough on myself. Telescopic mind, being agreeable till I'm blind. Oh, think I'm being too tough on myself. Oh, hey.
Thank you. How about that? A beautiful song by Josh Quadra.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX. You
Wendell.
Can find information about the program on our
Wendell.
Website, American Parlor Songbook.
Wendell!
Oh, yes, Mother, make it quick. I was almost sleeping.
Well, wake up and tell me how beautiful I still am.
You're just as beautiful as the day I met you.
Yes, but how beautiful was I then?
Don't you have an enchanted mirror you can ask?
No, that's Snow White.
Oh, if only. Then the queen might put you to sleep and I could get some rest.
No, that would make me Sleeping Beauty.
Ah, there you go. The best of both worlds. You're a beauty and I get to sleep.
Then who would be my Prince Charming and wake me up with a kiss?
Call Central Casting. I'm too old to ride a horse.
Would you just take a good look at me and tell me if I've still got it?
Got what?
It.
The raging case of narcissism, yes. You still got it.
No, I'm not being narcissistic. I'm feeling insecure.
Martha Young, the actress, insecure. The same Martha Young who once rode a nude unicycle through the 1977 Tony Awards. Insecure.
It's just at the party tonight. I wasn't who everyone was looking at.
I'm fairly certain you had the room's undivided attention when you rode the host around, piggyback, singing Rhinestone Cowboy.
Drastic times call for drastic measures.
Then times must have been truly dire by the time you set fire to Smarty Leger's toupee.
Well, how else are you supposed to do a smoke signal routine in a pinch?
Why not a napkin or a place card?
No, no, no. That real European hair burns beautifully.
You might have removed it from his head first, Martha.
But I only had seconds to act. That floozy was about to pick up a napkin.
Wait, what floozy?
Oh, don't you play coy with me. You were right there with the rest of them, ogling that skimpy red dress. What?
You mean Jillian, Smarty's niece.
Well, what other skimpy red dress?
You were wearing a skimpy red dress.
Yes, once I saw hers, I tore my sleeves off and dumped red punch all over my white dress.
Oh, that explains the dampness and the flammability.
And it still wasn't enough.
Oh, dear, it's all in your head, Martha.
No, you're just saying that because you have to.
I don't have to. It's plainly obvious. No one can take their eyes off of you.
But I'm old now. I have to set fire to myself just to get noticed.
But I notice you.
Well, tell me why.
Because, like I said, you're just as beautiful as the day we met.
And how beautiful was I then?
You were, and still are, the most beautiful of them all, Snow White. I promise.
You you pinky swear?
With a cherry on top, dear.
And you weren't looking at that young number tonight at the party?
Oh, I only have eyes for you.
Always?
Since the very moment we met. Now, let's get some rest, dear.
Do you know what would really convince me?
What's that?
Read me a bedtime story.
A story?
Yes, you know the one. It's from your memoirs. It's about how we met. It always makes me so dreamy.
Oh, that old tale. All right, dear.
And I've always got it bookmarked here.
All right, let's see. Where is it? Chapter 3. The best one. New York came through in muted browns and stony grays and pale green spires. The last old L train snaking along through the Bowery, bubble yellow cabs along the straight long roads, narrowing above at the buildings against the sliver of silver sky, and in the middle up past the tall perpendicular shop signs, the square, the center of it all, the center of time. For us, there at the Belasco Theater on 44th. I was late as usual, still catching up from my slower upbringing on the farm outside Chester, you see. Well, my hands were always faster than my feet. My quickest moments were Rachmaninoff's Third, not on the track of the field. It was my fast fingers that brought me into the theater that day, into the pit for the first rehearsal. And, well, I fumbled in, as I do, trying to maintain, making excuses, taking my seat under stage right with a sight line into the wings. The apple was full of worms. It hustled and bustled. Cabbies barked, things steamed up from the grates. Cigars were chomped and dangled. Pretzels were slung. And nervous young men arrived, cowering, to puff up their chests and fake it on Madison Avenue or on Wall Street or on Broadway. There he was, a fresh-pressed suit, an oily mustache, barking like an August junkyard dog, hot, proud and convinced of himself. Mr. Logan ran that stage like a mean steamship captain, directing them all to tears. Well, all but one of them. I played the chorus on it, scene two, you see. They had to stand in the dark on the stage. He kept them out there, overlapping. It was never fast enough for him, on and off. Well, he'd try to outpace a film editor, you see. The lights came up on stage left, and there the sailor boys were, ready for the catch. But those nurses were a beat too slow. He thundered his cane down onto the boards and he started shouting at them. And, well, those delicate ballet school princesses crumbled like delicate cake. And then, from the blubbering murmur, came a voice. "You know where you can put that cane, old man?" "I beg your pardon," he says. "You heard me, oil can Harry." I stand up to peek through the footlight. Well, he barks at her. "Who do you think you are?" And then I hear it. Like the angels at the gates of heaven. Oh, I hear it. "I'm Martha Young." The chorus boys gasp. Logan laid into her. "You little snot. Look at those knobby knees. You're going to wish you never crossed me. You so-and-so. You ugly. You brat. You. Don't you talk to her that way." I could hardly believe it. An involuntary shock from my feet up to my mouth. As I stood to say it, I could hardly believe it. "Don't you talk to her that way." Was that me? He turned to fire back, storming towards the pit, lifting the cane above his head. I curdled, "Here it comes," and then I see her. For the first time in the light, I see her. She pounces like a Hell's Kitchen alley cat from 20 feet away, tackling the director to the stage. And there she is, a perfect rim light from behind her, a red spot from above, just pinning him to the ground by the collar. "Listen, you tiny rat, you think I have to put up with you. I'm Martha Young, and when I'm through with you, you'll be finished. Me and, what's your name, Wendell. Me and Wendell don't need your two-bit play, you gather. Now you're going to stay down there on the floor, and you're going to watch the biggest star you've ever seen walk away forever. You got that? Come on, what's your name, Wendell. Come on, Wendell, let's go." And I went. Out the door behind her, we burst onto 44th, the winter sun, blinding my theater dark eyes, just trying to keep up. She moved through the cars into the road. "Let's go!" The cars breezing past her left to right, me spinning and hitting hoods, and her arm goes gently up, and by design, a taxi is right there, straight into the back without a pause, like a beautiful, chaotic ballet. I hit the leather seat beside her, stunned. I took a deep breath, turned, and said, "Where are we going?" She says, "That way." And we went. Forever. And to this day. And to the ends of the earth.
Oh, that's the best part.
Yes, dear. Night, night now.
Oh, wait, wait, not so fast. Aren't you forgetting something?
A story and a song? Okay. Anything for my Martha.
has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinhole skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say. Though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.